We're back with Lake Effect on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North. By now, it's no secret that the Milwaukee Symphony Orchestra is in financial trouble. Reports last week from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, which have been shared widely across social media sites like Facebook, outline both the immediate $5 million needed to avoid a shutdown and the steps the organization and the orchestra members have taken to ensure a viable future once the current crisis has passed. The problems aren't musical. Many people say and have written that the orchestra has never sounded better. Audiences are responding, too. So what's going on, and how does it get fixed? Mark Niehaus is the president and CEO of the MSO. He was formerly the principal trumpet for the orchestra before being asked to step into his current position. So he brings a player's perspective to his management role. He joins me in the studio now. Mark, welcome back to Lake Effect. It's great to have you with us this morning.
Thank you for having me here.
How did the symphony get into this dire situation?
Well, you know, it's not an unusual event, unfortunately, for the Milwaukee Symphony. For decades, the orchestra has, every 3 to 5 years, had a budget crisis. There's really two long-term underlying reasons that we find ourselves in this position. It's undercapitalization. The orchestra has an endowment that's only a 1-to-1 ratio with its annual budget. And we don't control our home, our venue where we play. And orchestras that tend to operate without hiccups control their venue and have an endowment that's properly sized for them. So those are really the long-term issues that we have to address. But right now we're in short-term mode because of a budget miss last season. We have cash crisis. So we did not start the season with enough cash in the bank to make it through the year without having the possibility of having to cease operations. And that's essentially what we've told the community now.
So how many weeks do we have before operations would cease if cash does not come in?
You know, it's a moving target. It's a moving target because as we receive donations and as we receive ticket sales, the line moves forward. Actually, I would say every year the Milwaukee Symphony has had a date at which the symphony will run out of money unless certain donations are raised. It just comes earlier this year, and it's scarier because it's a larger hill to climb. We're not saying a date publicly because once you do that, it's like the boy who cried wolf. But there is a real possibility that we will just have to stop because we've run out of cash.
Now, is this situation similar in other symphonies in other parts of the country? I mean, do symphonies find themselves facing this kind of thing,
you know,
all the
time? Interesting. The press loves to latch on to orchestras in crisis. I mean, currently in Minnesota, that orchestra hasn't played a note in a year and a half. That situation is completely different than here. There's actually almost no commonalities between the two,
except that you're symphonies,
except that we're orchestras.
Yeah.
But the financial situation. I mean, that orchestra has an endowment of, I believe, $140 million, and they have a brand new concert hall that they just renovated. So to me, it feels like an embarrassment of riches. I would give my life to have their endowment and their hall, and they're essentially fighting amongst themselves in many ways. We have complete alignment internally here. The musicians, the management, and the board of the Milwaukee Symphony have been speaking to the community with one voice. Now, the contract negotiation we just had with the musicians, which they were in no way required to have because it was a mid-contract reopener, was difficult. And we did it privately, and we did it respectfully, and we did it internally. And we were able to find, from last season to next season, $2 million in savings. And that comes from the number of full-time musicians through retirements and natural attrition. We're not laying anybody off. We're not firing anybody. We're just not filling vacancies as they occur and some vacancies that were left over from the past by not having auditions.
So how does that affect the quality of the product that you produce for the
That is the best. That is the question.
Yeah.
And I am not going to say to anyone that, oh, you won't notice a difference. It's going to be just as good. Because when you have a group of musicians who play together on a regular basis, day in and day out, they develop a rapport, a level of artistic integrity that you can't have when you have people coming and going. Now, the orchestra has always, we're currently at 79. An orchestra like the New York Philharmonic is in the high 90s, probably 100 people. Chicago Symphony, I would imagine, is close to 100 as well. We're already in the position of when we decide to do a large work, like a large Mahler symphony, we're going to have to bulk up. For instance, the Mahler Symphony No. 1 has 8 horns. We employ five. It has four of each woodwinds. We employ three. It has four trumpets. We employ three. So to do that piece, already we're going to have to bulk up. So what happens to us artistically is we start making budget decisions on more pieces than we had to in the past. So as we get into Tchaikovsky and Berlioz, and even in Brahms, if we decide we want to beef up the string section, we're having to make difficult decisions about how are we going to spend our resources. And that is not a position any artistic person wants to be in, but that's the reality where we find ourselves.
One of the things that the press release that came out of the MSO said was that the management board and musicians working together to build a new model. And you've said that everybody's speaking in one voice. What does this new model look like and how does it differ from the old?
Okay, well, for us, we're having to be reactionary and to sort of the situation we find ourselves in. Part of it is in relationship to our primary home, the Marcus Center. We share the Marcus Center with the ballet, the opera, and the Broadway series. So our season is now at 39 weeks. When I joined the orchestra in 1997 as principal trumpet, our season was at 47 weeks. And as our season has contracted, we now compete more during the concert season with the other organizations. The Marcus Center needs the Broadway revenue to meet their bottom line because they've lost funding from the county as well. The ballet must have the Nutcracker in December or there will be no – that's – their business model is the same as almost every ballet company where you have the Nutcracker and you have ballet school and you take kids from the ballet school and you put them in the Nutcracker. And that's how ballet works. So we had to become flexible scheduling wise. So we are now going to have a season that is 40 weeks of employment for the orchestra. However, it's going to exist within a 44-week period, which means we'll be laying the musicians off for 4 weeks during the season instead of being laid off over the summer all in a row. So they'll be actually working one additional week next year, but they won't all be in a row. And that will put us in the Marcus Center 4 to 5 additional weeks every year.
So is there an idea that there will be a summer season now with the symphony?
Well, it depends on what you call summer. if you call the end of June up to the 4th of July summer, yes. So our season will start the beginning of September and wrap around the 4th of July. Because where we've been now is we've been starting towards the end of December and ending in the middle of June. So by expanding that way, we're able to have a much larger footprint in the Marcus Center. And the nice thing about that is it's more earned revenue. Because when we're in that building, we are at our best financially and artistically because that's our home. So we're going to be able to provide more concerts, more variety to more people. To me, that works. It's a concession for the musicians because the nature of their job has changed. Now they have to be working from the beginning of September to the end of June and being laid off for 4 weeks in the middle instead of being laid off during the summer.
Where they could go to a summer series.
Where they could go to a
something.
Summer. They go to summer.
Right.
Many people go. I went to the Eastern Music Festival for years. Many of our musicians go to the Santa Fe Opera and play out there. But there are mechanisms within our contract in the way people take vacations and leaves and rotated vacations to find a way to make sure they still get to have their summer work. So I don't think someone's going to have to give up their summer employment.
Well, above and beyond the quality of its offerings, and we've kind of danced around this a little
sure.
bit, every nonprofit arts organization in this country, whether you're a symphony, a ballet, whatever, you must undertake effective fundraising in order
Absolutely.
To survive. You can't do it without it. So what about rethinking your fundraising strategy? Is that part of the long-term goal as well?
Well, we hit it out of the park. We are at 74% contributed income. And
that's pretty good.
That is – it's – you know what? It's too good and it puts us at risk because when we are reliant on annual fund every year to meet that large portion of our budget, if we have a hiccup, it hits us hard. So we're at basically about 24 to 25% earned income and that's not unusual for orchestras. We're actually slightly above average. But because we have no investment income from our endowment – well, I'm sorry. We earn about $700,000 to $800,000 a year off of our investment assets. But we have a frozen pension liability left over from back in the 90s that hits us to just under $1 million a year. So all of our income from investment is taken by our pension liability. So we're running on a cash basis and that is very dangerous. As far as fundraising goes, we need – at some point to launch a successful endowment campaign. The orchestra has tried many times in the past decades and had limited success. For me, a successful endowment campaign looks like this. The orchestra runs itself for a number of years in the black. and balances budgets and proves that it's sustainable how it is. And then the city is scored probably externally from experts who know what the town is capable of, and we set a goal that's reasonable. Because very often an organization says, well, to fix our problem and to fill this hole, we need an endowment of X. So we're just going to start raising that. If the town's not capable of that, you're setting yourself up for failure. So that's something that I think will happen in the next – hopefully the next couple of years.
So endowment. And then what about operating? Because that's part of it too.
Yeah. Well, we essentially on the bottom line have a revenue problem. But a revenue problem without a solution becomes an expense problem. So the orchestra finds itself – I call it the box because it has four sides. One side of the box is – this pension liability, where we're being hit by just about $1 million in cash every year just to fund a pension that was frozen back in the 90s. Another side of the box is our allocation that we get from United Performing Arts Fund. That has gone down by over $1 million in the last 10 years. So the Milwaukee Symphony receives $1 million less today than it did 10 years ago from the United Performing Arts Fund. The other side is our relationship with our home in the Marcus Center, and we have worked already on our in our contract to address that, to get more weeks in there. It doesn't solve our December issue. Many orchestras do very well in December. The Boston Symphony, Boston Pops, December, I think they make 40% of their earned income that month. Don't quote me on the number, but it's a lot. And endowment, that's it.
So the endowment is the
endowment is the other piece.
Is the other piece.
So it's the venue, the endowment, the pension, and UPAF. And those four things are out of our control. But what we can control is being more flexible in our schedule, reducing expenses, which we have taken $2 million out of the budget from 12-13 versus 14-15. This is a transition year right now. And we speak to the community with one voice and say, we've done the hard work. We have a plan that works. We just have to get there. And the cost of shutting down and restarting is more expensive than funding this deceleration.
What if, despite all the best laid plans of mice and men, it fails and we lose the symphony? What happens?
The symphony stops.
Well, besides the symphony stopping, well, what does that mean?
Well, there's a cascading effect. Well, the Marcus Center has a huge issue because their primary tenant is gone and they lose all of their rental income from us. So the Marcus Center is at a tremendous risk, which then threatens all the groups that reside in the Marcus Center, the ballet, the opera, and even the Broadway series. The opera is doubly hit because not only are they at risk with the Marcus Center, we're the orchestra for the opera. So that's a big deal for the Florentine Opera. Many of the arts, performing arts groups in Milwaukee use our musicians. Present Music, Frankly Music, all the string quartets and chamber music in town tend to be people from the orchestra. When you look at the roster of the music faculty at UWM, it's mostly MSO people. When you look at the people who coach the youth orchestra, it's almost all MSO people. When you think about sort of the teaching and the other impact that our musicians have on the city is huge, not to mention the core mission is gone. There's no more concerts. And you're in a city now where you essentially can't go hear classical music. And we don't have a classical music radio station. You know, what does that say about our town? It's funny, you know, people like to reference, and I hate to even go here because I try not to, but they like to reference the whole arena thing with the Bucks. You know, what does it mean if we lose a basketball team? Well, what does it mean if we lose the symphony orchestra? What does that say about where we live? And one player on the Bucks makes more than the entire annual budget of the symphony. There is a way through. Everyone who needs to participate in this plan understands their role. There's not a lack of understanding. And it is a shared paid plan. Everyone has been told what they need to do to make this work. And the musicians, the staff, the management, the board, the donor community, the foundations, the corporations, philanthropists all know. And we've been honest with everybody. And that's important that we're not embarrassed because we find ourselves in this position. We're actually very proud because, believe it or not, the orchestra is at the highest artistic level it's ever been. The Milwaukee Symphony today is the best Milwaukee Symphony this town has ever had. So it's this odd dichotomy where we have artistic excellence for a very reasonable cost, but yet because of the box, we still find ourselves in this position.
Are you hopeful?
I am. And not because I'm a Pollyanna. I actually am by nature a pessimist. I can see how the dots connect and how we make it through this. And I can't imagine Milwaukee not having a symphony orchestra. After spending 15 years on the stage and understanding what this organization means to this town, and even people who don't go to the symphony know that it's great, No one in Milwaukee ever says, oh, the Milwaukee Symphony, they're no good. That doesn't even occur to people. Do you really want to live in a town that can't support an orchestra, especially an orchestra that has adjusted and made the sacrifices necessary to create a sustainable business model?
Well, let's hope the answer is no.
I think it is.
Well, Mark, it has been a pleasure to talk to you. Best of luck.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Mark Niehaus is the president and CEO of the Milwaukee Symphony Orchestra. The MSO is working to raise $5 million in the next few weeks to avert a shutdown. There's more information about all of what we discussed on our website, wuwm.com/lakeeffect. Coming up next, how one do-it-yourself bike shop hopes to change the way Milwaukee rides and repairs its bicycles. We'll chat with the co-founder of Vulture Space when Lake Effect returns on Milwaukee Public Radio.